And we are back once again with the Harris Huddle here on now newly named Spotify for Podcasters. That's going to be an interesting name and kind of way to keep up with the changes. But let's get back on track. We are once again here with the Harris Huddle, and I am your host, Jalen Harris. And man, it has been an emotional weekend and start of the week for NFL and NBA organizations. OBJ is back in the news as he signs with the Baltimore Ravens. And the Timberwolves just can't stop shoving and punching things. Like you never win a fight or with something that doesn't move. You shouldn't punch concrete with your bare hands. I get slapping helmets. I understand that a little bit, but they play basketball and walls don't do anything to you, so you shouldn't punch them. But anyway, we'll get more into that with the Timberwolves and Odell Beckham Jr. And as we start this episode off, and once again, I'm your host, Jalen Harris. This is the Harris Huddle Podcast, which is a weekly, bi-weekly podcast that goes over certain sports topics or sports news that I choose for this podcast. And we have two social media outlets. The first is Twitter. My Twitter for the Harris Huddle podcast page is at Huddle Harris. That is HuddleHarris. That is Twitter. And then the second one is Instagram. It is at underscore Harris Huddle. And that is HarrisHuddle with the underscore in front of it. And don't forget that. So we're going to jump into it today. I don't know how long this podcast is going to be. Hopefully I don't sound too rusty, but yeah, we're going to jump right into it. Mark Cuban is destroying the Dallas Mavericks. Not in a bad way, but not in a good way either. He's not signing anyone. He's not signing his own players, and I don't get that. You make all these trades. You make a trade for Porzingis. You trade him to the Wizards, and he's in purgatory now. But I think he's doing pretty well with the Wizards. But it's the Wizards. You don't pay attention. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. No. But you don't sign Jalen Brunson. And you had his bird rights. You could have signed him for a five-year deal for $100-plus million, whatever. I don't know the max that I kept, probably could have got to like 150-ish or maybe even 175. But I don't think Jalen Brunson was going to get that. But I think it was like 120 to 130 you could have signed Jalen Brunson for, and I understand that is a lot of money for the average person, but that is a deal for what he's currently producing now for the New York Knicks. He is an all-star player, even though he didn't make the all-star game, which is weak. He's an all-star player. He should make all-NBA because he's been producing well. I think he's almost, if he's not averaging 30, he's close to averaging 30. He's leading the New York Knicks to that highly anticipated first-round matchup with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But back to the Mavs, and I will get back to why they are doomed because of the ghost of Brunson. But they made a trade for Kyrie Irving, and that was right after the trade. That was right on the trade deadline, either early January or early February, right before the All-Star break. They traded for star guard Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a great player, great one-on-one player, great isolation scorer. He can do anything on the court, shoot, drive, make trick shots. It's anything you want, he can do. He's a champion. He won it with LeBron James. So they traded for that guy. You're thinking of pairing him up with Luka Doncic, who's another all-star, all-NBA MVP candidate this year, who's averaging 32 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. You think, oh, it's going to chop it up and it's going to go great. No. You need to play defense. It isn't all about putting the ball in the hoop. And I'm not going to bore you guys with all this why, because I know this has been a pretty big story for the last couple of weeks and this past couple of days, but they don't play any defense, man. They don't play any defense at all. And part of the reason this is on Mark Cuban, because you signed JaVale McGee, you signed, you had Porzingis, you had Biggs, and they played defense last year or 2 years ago when they made the conference finals. They traded Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie, who were key defensive guys, but Spencer Dinwiddie could create on his own if needed. But Dorian Finney-Smith was that key defensive wing that you needed on playoff teams and championship teams if you wanted to. The thing for Dallas and Mark Cuban has been add. You want to keep adding players when you have a young player like Luka Doncic, who's just starting his extension or a couple of years into his extension. You want to keep adding players, adding solid players to that team. Now, yes, we've all been clamoring for a star, but I don't think Kyrie Irving was necessarily the guy you put in, because at the end of the season, which is currently right now, Kyrie Irving could be a free agent. And when you trade for a guy with a couple months left in the season, you should sign him, because they're going to look like a fool if he just walks away in free agency. But it also goes back to that Jalen Brunson situation, where if you weren't willing to pay him, are you going to pay Kyrie Irving $200 million, who has his own issues with team commitment? I wouldn't say there's issues, but they affect the team. If it could be any sort of reason why Kyrie Irving could just choose not to be around the team. And you don't want that with guys you pay $200 million to. You want a Giannis, you want a LeBron James, you want a KD, even before the injuries, but I'll take KD with the injuries. But he will be there if he's healthy. KD will be there. You want KDs, the Devin Bookers, the I don't know, the Jason Tatums and Jaylen Browns. You want guys who will show up for you. You can't pay max dollars to guys who will leave free willing on other things, or that might have personal issues. Now, that might be a little harsh, but you play a team game in a team sport, you have to be willing to sacrifice for your teammates and for your team. But with trading for Kyrie, you're kind of at his will. I mean, what did you trade for him for if you didn't want to give him the money? That's my thing. And if Mark Cuban didn't want to pay Jalen Brunson, or he didn't believe he was good enough for $120 million, you kind of got to pay Kyrie. And I think Kyrie will be making more than Luka in this situation, because I think the max extension he could get is like 5 years, $250 million? Yeah. I would be scared, but I don't have $250 million. But this seems like a great episode of Shark Tank for Mark Cuban. Do you take the deal with the player who won't show up? Do you give him the deal? Do you give him the offer? What would be your offer, Mr. Shark, Mark Cuban? I don't even think he's on Shark Tank anymore. I don't know. Can y'all answer that for me in the podcast comments, or comment on Spotify, or comment on my social media? Is Mark Cuban still on Shark Tank? I used to like that show, Shark Tank. I got some business ideas. And one would be to, in the future, or in the past, sign Jalen Brunson. But anyway, the big thing now is with the Mavericks, they are out of the play-in tournament, which means they are out of the playoffs. And they're focused on the draft and free agency now. And the NBA is also investigating them for tanking, because they literally... I don't know why Jason Kidd just, hey, my bosses told me to not play anyone and lose technically. So you just thought that would go well with the NBA, who doesn't like tanking and doesn't like teams saying out loud, hey, we're going to lose. Like, no, that kills fan revenue. Fans won't come to the game if you hear that constantly. I mean, we had the process. The process was fun with Joel Embiid, but I don't think you should say it just blatantly out loud, and especially when Luka was saying, hey, I'm going to play this game. But the day of the game, he's only going to play a quarter, and it's only because it's Slovenian night. And it's just like, the Mavericks are bad in every sort of way. But it's not a bad organization. It's not a toxic organization. They just do not smart things. The buck falls on Mark Cuban, because he's the owner, and now he has hired a general manager, but the buck stops on your desk. You're the only person signing $200 million contracts. Now, you have Porzingis. Now, I don't know if Porzingis was a great fit in Dallas, but it goes down to the coach. I don't know what they were running. Porzingis kind of not felt bad, but was unhappy with his role. So it's you. And then your pick this year, the whole reason why they were tanking, they have an 80% chance of keeping their pick if they don't make the playoffs. They had an 8% chance if they made the playoffs, and it's lottery protected. I don't know. I don't think it's lottery protected, but it's that whole protection thing where if they don't make the playoffs, they have an 80% chance of keeping it. If they do, the Knicks keep their pick. then they have an 8% chance of keeping it. So, you know, probabilities, I understand, but, you know, I'm not blatantly saying, hey, I want to tank to keep my pick, which you need to keep Luka happy. But I don't know. It's the Mavs are a head scratcher because I don't know how much cap space they have. They probably have enough for just a max slot and maybe a couple more decent players if they just have that max slot for free agency. But I don't know if you pay Kyrie that money, and I don't know what you do afterwards. You have to fill the roster somehow, and the majority of their roster is free agents. I think the only guy maybe not be is JaVale McGee and Luka, and their rookie they just signed. I think his name is Jaden Hardy. They just drafted last year. So what are you going to do? I mean, a lot of those guys, I would think they need retooling the roster anyway. You're not scaring me with Reggie Bullock. And you're not scaring me with Tim Hardaway Jr. You're just not. And they're hot and cold anyway, with all due respect. They're just not. There needs to be a new cup on the cupboard. Ooh, I'm butchering that word, but there needs to be new supplies in the closet. You need a new lead dog in the pack. But speaking of the play-in anyway, it's spicy this year. Yeah, the number 7 Miami Heat versus number 8 Atlanta Hawks. I am a Hawks fan some days, 2 days out of the week. But this game could decide Trae Young's career. A recent report came out where the ownership has given the general manager and higher level executives the green light to do trades and include Trae Young in trades if need be. So this game could be a key facet in how Trae Young is viewed by ownership and how Trae Young is viewed by the GM, because Kyle Korver just became the GM, I think, of the Atlanta Hawks. And I like Kyle Korver, but I don't trust this ownership and this new management yet. They have to prove themselves. And I'm not a huge fan of – I'm not the greatest fan of Trae Young, because I'm not sure – he could lead you to a title based off his size and how he impacts the game. Yes, he can shoot. Yes, he can be dynamic scoring and playmaking. But defense, and like we do the comparison to Trae Young, but excuse me. We do the comparison to Steph Curry, but Steph Curry is 6'3". Steph Curry can willingly play defense. Steph Curry isn't. I mean, he's a liability, but he isn't that much of a liability where he can't stick his nose in there and get a block, get a steal, take a charge. I don't know if Trae Young is doing that. I don't know if he's willing to do that. So this game could be crucial, and Miami has always had his number because of his size and how they play defense. They can set their defense to kind of limit Trae and his explosion offensively. So this is a good game, and Jimmy Butler steps up to be prime Michael Jordan in the playoffs until he just literally runs out of everything he has for the Heat. And I feel bad for him, because the Heat outside of him and Bam are not good. So we'll see. I mean, this game comes on tonight, I think at 7. So I want to have this podcast out for you guys to hear my opinion, and, you know, check out the game, see for yourself, see if I'm wrong, see how you feel about Trae Young and the Hawks and the Miami Heat. Play-in games should be spicy. Now, the next game tonight is the number 7 seed, Los Angeles Lakers. They've won they went 9-2 in their last 11 games. They play the Minnesota Timberwolves, which are the punching wolves, apparently. Now, a little more context, Rudy Gobert shoved his teammate Kyle Anderson in their game 2 days ago or yesterday. They were shoving each other because Kyle Anderson called Rudy Gobert the B word, and he didn't take that too well after in a timeout after discussing they were down in the game and they were kind of having a heated moment. Now, Rudy did proceed to shove Kyle Anderson, and then they had to be separated, and they went down the tunnel, and they, I guess, they kept going, and eventually the president, Steve Connerly, had to send Rudy home and kind of get this cooler heads rolling. And I think this is going to be an easy game for the Lakers. I really think the Minnesota Timberwolves are checking out. I would check out too. Your star rookie punched a wall and fractured his hand. And he's out for the season. Your best defender, your best wing defender, ascending player punched the wall right before the playoffs. You're not tanking. You don't have the number one pick. You don't have the worst record in the league, but he punched a wall. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't. I think LeBron, AD, they're focused. They're locked in. They're going to give everything they have in this play-in game to just lock it up. Because if you win, you go straight into the playoffs. I think they would stay the seventh seed. Yeah, they would stay the seventh seed if you win this game. So if you win, you're in. If you lose, you have to play another game. And I know another game on LeBron's 38-year-old body and Anthony Davis's 30-year-old body or 31-year-old body is not the best right now. You could rest, give yourself a couple of days for the playoffs, and, you know, try your best. Not saying they're going to win the first round matchup, but you don't want to play more games with a bunch of old guys and a bunch of old leaders. So I think the Lakers will come out with that game, and I wish them the best, but I don't know. Timberwolves, you got to do something. The Twin Towers lineup was a 1980s, 1990s thing. It's not a 2023 thing. You have to have some hard decisions because I don't think Rudy Gobert is what they wanted him to be, and I don't think he will ever will be what the Timberwolves wanted with having Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert as a tag team tandem wonton bomb for the NBA. It's not happening. It's not. I mean, let's be for real. Now, back to the East, we have the number nine seed, Toronto Raptors versus the Bulls. These games are tomorrow. These are the first next two I'm about to go into. I probably will be really quick because it's the Raptors and the Bulls, man. The Raptors can be a little feisty. I don't really believe in the Bulls. They might be going a little run, but it's not it. I mean, they're not really appeasing to me. These are two teams that whoever they play in the first round, they're going to get swept. Maybe the Raptors can give you a game or two, but they're going to get swept. I'm surprised at the Raptors because they were really good last year or they were really feisty last year and younger. You would think that them being young and having the rookies, they would advance a little further or grow up a little bit. But it takes some time. It could take a couple years. But, hey, this game, I don't know. I don't even know because the loser of that first game will play in this game. So, No. I'm not really interested in that one. There, nothing appeased me. I would take the Raptors just off of youth and wanting to be in the playoffs. I think the Bulls will blow up after this season. With either trading DeRozan and trying to figure out Lonzo Ball and trading Vucevic, who I don't think he's a star. He's a nice player. And I think DeRozan is more of a complimentary star or a complimentary piece at this stage in age in his career. And just the Raptors are young, so I'll take them. I'll take youth. Not ages, though. But in the next game, we jump back to the West, and we jump back to the 9-seed New Orleans Pelicans versus the 10-seed Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm going to go youth again. But I would like to see OKC in the playoffs or just to play in another game. I think I like their team with Josh Giddey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, they're fun. They score a lot of points, don't play a lot of defense, but they're really young. And the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram could choose to be on one and score a drop 30 or 35 and look like prime KD. But I don't know. I just want to see Oklahoma City. I know they were kind of holding out hope that Zion would come back, but I think he's still rehabbing and far away from coming back. So I don't really have hope with them in a first round matchup if they can even make it there. Now they have CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, another guys, the guy from Alabama, I can't remember his name right now, but he's a great defensive stopper. But I question their motivation currently as to what they want to do in the playoffs, how they're feeling as a team. But yeah, I would take OKC in this matchup if either team makes it. But, yeah. And we're going to move into the next topic. OBJ is back in Baltimore, baby. Is everybody going to have the blonde Fauxhawks? Q 2015, 2014, blonde Mohawks, you know, black fades? Nah. But OBJ is back in Baltimore. He signed a one-year deal for $15 million guaranteed. Wow. And this could be up to $18 million. I was really surprised. I remember the notification first hit my phone. It said up to $18 million. I just assumed it was going to be like a 1 year, $7 million deal with a bunch of incentives and $1 million, or 1 year, $5 million deals. No, it is 1 year, $15 million. And that is really shocking seeing it coming from Baltimore. And wow, I mean, I like it. This is a good organization, I think. With this whole offseason with Lamar requesting a trade. And I think this is the whole reason. You have to bring in a guy, and you have to bring in guys to appease your quarterback. You need to keep him. You have to keep him happy. And it's, I mean, everybody's tripping about $15 million. I really don't care. I mean, they have all their top guys locked up. This $15 million is just sitting there. So, hey, use it. Use it however you want it. You have Lamar signed. He just has to sign that contract or the tender for the franchise tag, but it's free money sitting there. Use it. It's only 1 year. It's not multiple years. But Odell Beckham cannot bear the entire weight of this entire offense. He can't be the guy. You can't put it all on him to be like, save us. And they do have a new offensive coordinator with Todd Monken, but he can't save you, man. He and Rashad Bateman need to stay healthy. It could be a 1-2 or it could be a 1A, 1B. You have to figure it out. They do have Mark Andrews, who's a great tight end, top five tight end in the league. And they are, well, in that previous offense, they did depend heavily on Mark Andrews as you could say, the number one receiver when Rashad Bateman was hurt and not hurt. But I think this is a good combo. You know, you have a good trifecta. Maybe Mark Andrews continues to stay the one or not, but you could have that combination. Rashad Bateman or Odell is the one. And you could flip-flop it. Odell is the two and Mark Andrews the three. I would personally, for Odell to have that big impact, I would say Mark Andrews would be the one. Rashad Bateman's the two. Odell's the three. But you can fluctuate on the game. Whoever is winning, you give them balls. Throw the ball. Run the ball. Be balanced. Don't just primarily defend on the run. This isn't the 80s. They're not going to run their way to a Super Bowl. They tried to. They ran their way to the playoffs, but they have not run their way to the Super Bowl. Now you can say, oh, Jalen, the Eagles just did it. No, they threw their way. You saw Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl throw for 300 yards. If he didn't fumble, they win the Super Bowl. Like, stop it. Stop. You have to be able to throw your way to the Super Bowl sometimes. Now, on the flip side, in the playoffs, you have to be able to run it. You can't be a primarily throw team, but you have to have that balance. You got to be able to run the ball and throw the ball. And I think with Odell Beckham and this new offensive coordinator from Todd Monken that just came off winning back-to-back national championships that came from the NFL with, I believe, the Buccaneers. But I think it could work. I'm not really mad at this signing. Now, the Ravens still need to draft more receivers in the draft. They can't stop here and act like Odell is plugging the hole to a dam. So you have to keep going. You have to keep adding. Keep stacking that bread. Keep buying loaves. keep stacking your coins. Be a hoarder. Be a hoarder of offensive explosive talent. Just keep trying. Keep it going. Now, if Odell can give you 800 to 1,000 yards, and this offense is top 10, what more can you ask for? And I like it. If they love it, I like it. And I'm excited. I might cop me an Odell Beckham jersey. You know, if it looks clean in a single digit, I might cop it. He might pull out the 13. But, hey, we don't know. Now, these are my two topics for today. I appreciate everybody for tuning in, listening to this Harris Huddle episode. I am back. We're going to try and keep it consistent more in 2023. But I appreciate everyone for tuning in. We have surpassed 500 views. I don't know if I hinted at that last episode or before, but we are at 500 plus views, and I appreciate every single one of you guys for tuning in, sharing, reposting. I look forward to everyone, you know, sharing and reposting and listening in the future. And I appreciate it honestly, because I sit here and just, you know, give you my thoughts. And once again, reach out to me on my socials at Huddle Harris on Twitter and underscore Harris Huddle on Instagram, man. I appreciate it. And once again, I am your host, Jalen Harris, and I am out.